toward the end of Sefer Nehemiah, and we're winding down. And by winding down, I mean there's a lot of wrapping up to be done, and I'm going to stop with one today. I zeroed something for you, and if I'll tell you, you know, we'll talk about it one of these days. You'll all stop making fun of me there because he's giving out another one of his things. No, 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 we're going to deal with it. In chapter 11 of Nehemiah, we learned that it was necessary to make certain that there would be a population in Yerushalayim. So a decision was made that in addition to the people who had chosen to, who were living there, 1/10 of the people living in the countryside would be mobilized to live in Yerushalayim. In addition to the ones that were mobilized, there were those who volunteered to live in Yerushalayim. Let's start 11 again. Vayeshu Sarei Ha'am b'Yerushalayim. The officers, the princes, the seat of government was in Yerushalayim. U'sha'ar ha'am, hipilu garalot, and the rest of the people, they drew lots. L'havi echot v'nasara, that 1 out of 10 should come. L'shevet b'Yerushalayim, i'hakodesh, to live in Yerushalayim, i'hakodesh. It's going to be called i'hakodesh once more here. V'teisha hayadot, and 9 hands, that means 9 parts, are going to be be'arim in the cities. V'yivorchu ha'am l'chol ha'anashim ha'mitnafim. In addition to the ones who were chosen or who were mobilized, there were also those who volunteered to live, and they blessed them. All the people, Hamid Nadvim, who volunteered, Hashem in Yerushalayim. Ve'ele Rashi Hamidin, and now we have the list of the people who lived in Yerushalayim. These are the heads of the state who lived in Yerushalayim. Uba'are Yehuda, Yoshfu, Ishbachu, Zatoba'areim, in the cities of Yehuda, people lived in their, each person in his ancestral inheritance of the cities, Yisrael, HaKohanim, Valevim, Vanitinim, Ubnei Avdei Shlomo, there were still people who were the sons of the servants of Shlomo. Uv Yerushalayim Yashvu, Mibnei Yehuda, Mibnei Binyamin, and in Yerushalayim, the ones who lived there were from Yehuda and Binyamin, and now begins the list of people and families that lived in Yerushalayim. Right, let's see. Mibnei Yehuda, Ataya ben Uziah, ben Zechariah, ben Amariah, ben Shvatya, ben Mahalalel. Mibnei Paretz goes all the way back to Paretz. Who were the twins that were born to Yehuda and Tamar? That was Paretz and Zara. Mashiach, by the way, comes from Paretz. Is it possible that that's why he is the one who is mentioned first? Didn't we make that comment with regard to the end of Sefer Rut? The end of Sefer Rut gives us Peretz and Salmon and Nashon and Aminadav and Nashon until you come down to then I think that we did discuss it. It was dangerous. It was dangerous. First of all, as we've seen in Ezra and Nehemiah, the last thing the enemies of Israel living in Eretz Yisrael wanted was that the walls of Yerushalayim should be built. When they built the walls, they stood on God. They held a sword in one hand and they built with the other hand. Yerushalayim was a dangerous place to be.
But this year they were also other nations because they were mainly an agricultural people.
All right. You're right. And we also said that they were an agricultural people. And we also said what the Malbim brings, that yeshiva krakin, living in the big cities, is kosher. The Gemara says living in big cities is difficult. Big cities are the breeding ground for the social ills of society. Not a bad sense. The anonymity of the big city, there's something about the big city that is the cover-up. In the little town, everybody knows everything. You can't just get away doing whatever you want. The big city is bad. I believe that's what I also said last week, that was, according to some of the Mefarshim, that was the sin of Migdal Babel, those who wanted to build the big megalopolis. The Rebbeinu Shem wanted the world inhabited. He didn't want people concentrating together in one area. He wanted them spread out. So there were a lot of reasons, and we pointed out, I think we pointed out last week, and you know, you pointed out to me every so often in the house, you meet somebody who hasn't been in Yerushalayim in 10 years, and they live in Petach Tikva, they live in Tel Aviv. Lo yale al hadat to go to Yerushalayim. They're not interested in going up to Yerushalayim. And of course, there were periods in our time, in the last 10, 15 years, when Yerushalayim, I mean, the schools stopped sending their children to Yerushalayim because of the dangers in the city. All right, Ben, where are we in that pasuk? Pasuk Heyu Maaseya Ben Baruch Ben Kol Chose Ben Chazoya Ben Adoya Ben Yoyarid Ben Zechariah Ben Hashiloni. Ben Hashiloni does not mean what you might think it means. There is a Navi in Tanakh called Achia Hashiloni who came from Shiloh. Do you know who this Shiloni is? Who was the third heir, Onan and Shelah? Shiloni is from the family of Shelah. Kol b'nei teretz ha-yoshim b'Yerushalayim arba me'yot shishim u'shmona anshin chayel. From the children of Peretz who lived in Yerushalayim, 468 anshin chayel, and that may be another reason why they are listed first. They were the men of war, in a sense. They were the strong people. Ve'ele b'nei Binyamin, from Yehuda and Binyamin. So from Binyamin you had Salu ben Yishulam ben Yoi ben Pedoya ben Koloya ben Maseya ben Epiel ben Yeshaya ve'acharav Gabei Saloi Shameyot Esrim Ushmona. They had even more, 928. Somebody who really knows Tanakh would remember all of these names and all of these numbers. Yeah, no, this is not. They would never even ask in a Bible contest the questions of this one. Yoel ben Zichri pokid aleim. Yoel ben Zichri was the one who was appointed over them. The Yehuda ben Hasenua al Ha'ir Mishneh. Another person, the second in command of the city, was Yehuda ben Asnua. Min HaKohanim, from the Kohanim, was Yitayu ben Yoyarib Yachin, Seroya ben Chilki ben Mishulam ben Sadak ben Meroyot ben Achitub, Negid Beit HaElokim, who was the officer, the noble in charge of the house of God, Va'acheyem Oseh HaMelach HaLabayit, their brothers who did the work of the sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash, Shmona Meyot Esrim Mishnayim, 822, Vaadoya ben Yerocham ben Pelaya ben Amsi ben Zechariah ben Pashur ben Malkiah. Now these people were terribly important, and as we pointed out, that's why their names are here for all time. The Echov Roshim La'avos, their brothers who were the head of homes of families of Kohanim were 242. Va'amash Sai ben Azriel ben Arzai ben Mishilevel ben Imer Va'chem Gibori Chayel, and other brothers who are strong people, Meyar Esrim Ushmona 128, Pakin Aleim Zavdiel ben Hagedolim, Zavdiel, the son of the great ones, special family, he was in charge of that. Umen Aluvim, Shmaya ben Chashuv ben Azrikam ben Chashavya ben Buni v'Shabtai v'Yozavet al HaMalach HaChitzon al HaBeit HaLikim. Shabtai and Yozavet were in charge of the outside work. Remember, the Levim also worked in the Beit HaMikdash. They didn't do the inside work, they did the outside work, and they were made Rashi HaLevim, the heads of the Levim. Umatanya ben Micha ben Zavdi ben Asaf. Asaf, of course, is a family that is known to be of the family of Levim. Rosh HaTechila Yehodel HaTvila. He was the head, the first to serve all the way back there in the Beit HaMikdash, the one who gives thanks and prayer. Ubagbukia. I knew you were going to say that. Who would give a kid a name like Bagbukia Mishneh Me'echav? He was second, Bakbukiah was second to Asaph, Ba'avdo ben Shamua ben Galal ben Yedusun, Kol Levim ben HaKodesh, all the Levim in the holy city, here it is the second time it's called the HaKodesh, Ba'tayim Shmanim Ba'arba, 284. Ba'ashoanim, there were those who were in charge of the gates of the Beth HaMikdash, Akuv, Talmon, Va'acheyem, Hashomdim, Ba'ashoanim, Me'ashivim, Mishnah 172. Shor Yisrael and the rest of Israel, Hakanim, Alavim, Bechol Arei Yehuda, spread out over all of the cities of Yehuda, Ish Benachlato, each one of their inheritance, Vahanipinim, we pointed this out, this is what we got up to last week, Yoshvim Ba'ofel, they lived in the Ofel is where just to the south wall of the Beit HaMikdash, V'tzichov Gishpa al Anitinim, Tzicha and Gishpa were in charge of the Anitinim. Upekid HaLevim B'Yerushalayim, who was in charge of the Levim B'Yerushalayim? Uzi ben Bani ben Hashavya ben Matanya ben Micha, Mibnei Asaf HaMishorinim, Leneged Melechet Beit Helokim. And they were the ones who were in charge of the work in the house of God. Ki Mitzvah HaMelech Aleihem, because it was the mitzvah of the king upon them. Va'amanah, there was a covenant that was entered into by the Mishorinim to do the work in the Beit HaMikdash Dvar Yom B'Yomo. Upetakya ben Mishezavel Mibnei Zerah ben Yehuda. Ah, we mentioned that, who was the first one that we mentioned from the family of Perez? We mentioned from Shelah. Now we also have from Zerah ben Yehuda Liyad HaMelech Lechol Davar Lam, who had been, he was the right-hand man of the king, and we're talking about Daryavesh. He was in charge of the Jewish desk. Velachatzedim v'sidotam. Now, from this pasuk on and further, for this you need the map. And that's why I have the map. I just want you to get a picture of where they settled. Especially since on a number of occasions we learned the Rambam, where the Rambam says that in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, they sanctified the land. They sanctified the land by settlement. And if they sanctified it by settlement, then let's see where the settlement took them. Ve'el ha-chatzeidim b'sidotam, those who are out in the yards of the fields, in other words, their chatzer was out in the field, mi'b'nei Yehuda, yoshvu b'kiryat ha-arba u'benoteha. First one that's mentioned is Kiryat ha-arba u'benoteha. Yes, the Yam HaGadol is the Mediterranean. Sure. Mentioned in Tanakh a number of times. So of all things, the place that they mention first is Kiryat HaArba Ubenoteha. Now that's one of the reasons why would you think Kiryat HaArba, when it says Benoteha, Benoteha means, or always means the surrounding cities are called her daughters, the settlements around. Why do you think Kiryat Arba is mentioned first? All right, number one, the Avod, yes. In other words, they use the original name. This is Hebron. Yes, Ma'arat HaMachpelah. I think that there's another reason, because that really was the beginning of Malchus Yisrael. The kingdom of Israel begins in David HaMelech. Is king for 7 years in Hebron before he establishes the capital in Yerushalayim. Ubedivon, ubenoteha, ubeyekapzeel, vechatzeireha. Yekapzeel is weight, and divon is the southernmost.
Yeah.
No. Oh, no. No. Eivra Yardin is to the right hand side of the ish.
No, that's down past Rav Sheva.
I know what you're talking about. All right. It's fascinating to watch. You'll see. It means I have a feeling that it may even describe the order in which they settled these places. It begins with the south. So here we have, we've gone down Kiryat Arba. You have Kiryat Arba there. And then you go straight down south from Kiryat Arba. You come to Kavtzeel. And then Divon. Ubi Yeshua. Ubamolado, You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're all in the same area.
Yeah, they're regional.
Where were we?
I'll tell you right away. We're Chapter Yud Aleph Pasuk Chavon Yeshua. Yes. Was it desert then? Or I'll ask another question: was any of the rest of the country any better?
Probably not.
If all of them. No, I don't believe that the Negev was always
certainly was always
desert.
She drives through it now, she would see. Egg is beautiful.
Yes, of course. And I believe it they knew that it could be then. And what about another thing? Maybe, even assuming, number one, I assume right now that the Negev was no worse than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. They came back to an absolute desolate land. That's number one. Number two, do you know what they came back to? They came back not only to settle the land, but to conquer the desert. The Ramban, the famous Ramban that says that it's a mitzvah in all generations to settle the land, and lirbosh shiva matat, to conquer the desert. This is part of the mitzvah. Well, you think the mitzvah of living in the Negev started with Ben Gurion? And then again, but I have a feeling they knew that they would be able to make the desert blossom, which they did.
Places are so far from water. Dibon has no streams or rivers near it. According to the map.
You're right.
No Mekorot.
No, all of these. Wait a minute. Let's Yeshua. No, these are all either. Yeah, the map is pretty much correct. It's either to the east of Be'er Sheva or south of Be'er Sheva. And then Ubachatzar Shu'al. I don't see Chatzar Shu'al on the. You see Chatzar Shu'al on the map? No? Ah, well, that's why the Dat Mikra says Ve'en Yodim et Mekoma. The city was in that general area because it was. There's one tribe that didn't really get its own portion in Eretz Yisrael, but shared a portion with another. That was Shimon. Shimon was given by Yehuda part of his portion. The portion of Yehuda started from Yerushalayim, going all the way down south. And the southern part of the tribe of Yehuda was given to Shimon. And this city, Chatzar Shu'al, is mentioned in Yoshua as one of the cities of Shimon. And then Ube Be'er Sheva, let's go further. Ube Be'er Sheva, Ube Noteha, Ube Tziklov. Now Tziklov is a city that we knew about. We learned about Tziklov because that was a city where David had encamped, and then David had to go away to war, and when he came back, all of the women and children and everything that belonged to them had been, everybody's family, all the families had been taken and by Amalek. And it describes the story how all of his men burst out into tears, and David led them, and they found a child who told them where they are in camp, and they destroyed the Amaleki, and they brought back everything that had been taken from Tziklag. Ubi Tziklag, Ubi Mechona, Ubi Vinoteha, Mechona. Where is Mechona? I think it may also be. Is it, do we have Mechona here?
No.
Also known by around Earth, and it may be a city that we didn't know. Let's see. Ube'en Rimon. Ube'en Rimon. Ube Tzor'ah. Ein Rimon we have over there. Tzor'ah we have further. Look, you know what you have to do? Just look for Bet Shemesh. If you drive to Bet Shemesh, you pass Tzor'ah.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Tzor'ah was on the border between Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Dan, not far from Bet Shemesh. Yeah. So if you take this Tzor'ah and Eshta'ol.
Oh, Eshta'ol, yeah.
Right. If you look at the name Yerushalayim, immediately to the left of Yerushalayim, Ube'en Rimon, Ube'tzara, Ube'yarmut, Ube'yarmut, that should be
right below Eshtaol.
Yarmut is right below Eshtaol. Zanoach, Adulam, if you just look below Tzara, you have, yeah? Who was, what did you say about Adulam? Who was the Adulamite? Yehuda's father-in-law. No. Shua, was that his name? Ish Adulami. No. Zanoach, Adulam, the Chatzrehem, and the area around those cities, Lachish. Lachish is already below. We know that. Usdoteha, Azeko, Ubnoteha. Azeko has been mentioned in the Tanakh a number of times. Vayachnu mi be'er sheva ad gehinom. It means, therefore, that the may. Chira. So she said she was good. Very good. I should have expected that from you.
I've been doubting myself.
Chira. The Ish Adulami type. Very good. Very. Now, what they're telling us in this pasuk is that the bulk of the settlement was from Beersheba to Geinom is Yerushalayim. The southern and eastern borders of Yerushalayim. That's Geben Hinom. Ubnei Binyamin, now that was Yehuda. But the two main tribes that came back were Yehuda and Binyamin. Binyamin is going to settle in the land, in Eretz Binyamin. Where is Eretz Binyamin? To the north of Yerushalayim. So there you have Geva, Michmas, some places it's Michmash, and some Michmas, Vaya Ubet El Ubnoteha. We know exactly where this is. This is north. These are the areas north of Yerushalayim. Anatot, Nov, and Anonia. Anatot is known for what? Huh? Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu was Men HaKohanim Asher Ba'anatot. And Anatot, there is an Arab village along the road to Neve Yaakov that's called Anta. And that's the site of ancient Anatot. All of these cities are, as you leave Yerushalayim, going directly north. So you're going to pass through Geva, Michmas, Ayah, Beitel, Anatot, Nov, Anania, Nov. Let's see, do we have Nov on our... Yeah, no, Geva is there, Anatot. There's a Nevo over there, I don't know. Huh? Nov isn't Givat, that may work out very well.
What?
Nov being part of Givat Zarfatit. It's in the correct. I don't know, I think that Nevo over there should be Nov. Because it was also Nov, just like Anatot. What was Nov? Nov was Ir HaKohanim, the city of Kohanim, and that was the one that was. The massacre, Shaul massacred the city. There's a different Nov. You're right, there is a Nov in the Golan. No, the historical Nov was right near Yerushalayim. Absolutely. Not the Nov in the... just like the Divan, there were two Divans. Chatzor. Huh?
Now that's another thing, there's two Chatzor.
Of course, Chatzor HaGlili, the one in the north is called Chatzor HaGlili. This is a Chatzor that should be right around Beit El. Do we have it there? I can't see already. They're all so close. All right. Ramah and Gitayim. Chadid, Tzvoim, Nevalat. And this also, these are cities from... going up from Ramallah, north of Yerushalayim, in the area of Beit El, Lod, Ono, and Geha Racharashim. These are also cities.
Those are already closer to the coast.
Those are closer to the coast. Very good. You have them right over there. You look at Yafo and go immediately east of Yafo, and you have Lod, Ono, and Geha Racharashim. These three cities happen to be important in the Gemara. The Gemara discusses these three cities because there are opinions that these three cities had walls around them from the days of Yoshua ben Nun. So if anybody lives around there, they may have to read the Megillah on the 15th. Umin ha-Leviim, machlekot Yehuda le-Binyamin. The Leviim were divided amongst Yehuda and Binyamin. What we've really described over here was after we were told who lived in Yerushalayim, then we are told where they spread out. Yehuda and Binyamin, south and immediately north of Yerushalayim. It means, therefore, remember, during the period of the second Beit HaMikdash, there's going to be a big Jewish settlement in the Galil. In the Galil and the Golan, and a lot of that is going to happen much, much later. The period of the Tanoim, which is following the Churban HaBayit, is going to be a period that most probably the most important settlement was along Emek Yisrael, down to Tveria, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and the Sanhedrin, Tzipori, Tveria, Kfar Nachum, all of these areas. It was most probably simply the result of the fact that Yerushalayim had become the battleground with Rome. And therefore there was a movement out of Yerushalayim to the north just to stay out of the way of the... people had to save their lives. Of course, it may have meant that there was a movement of population out to the Golan. All right, I just wanted you to get the feeling of the settlement in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. And of all things, people went back to what was their original homesteads. All right, chapter 12. You can keep these maps. In chapter 12, should we read it? Huh?
Why not?
Well, some of them, of course, are going to. Some of them, you will certainly, when we get to the name Bakbukiya again, you will not forget that. No. I'm reading it. How do you like that? I'm reading it. Ve'el ha-Kohanim ha-Leviim asher olu im Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel v'Yeshua. You know what we're talking about over here? We're going back to a listing of the Kohanim and the Leviim that came up with Zerubbabel. Now Zerubbabel went on Aliyah the year after the first pronouncement, the first edict of Koresh. We're going back 60, 70 years now.
Before
Ezra and Nehemiah. Before Ezra, oh yeah. Now, Zerubbabel was the second Aliyah. The first Aliyah, and this is already a review of chapter 1 in Ezra. The first Aliyah, the first ones who came up, came with Sheish Batzar, who was from the house of David. The following year, Zerubbabel came up. Ve'el ha-Kohanim ha-Leviim asher olu Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel, the Yeshua. Yeshua, of course, is one of the leaders. That's Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol. So who came? Seroya, Yirmiah, Ezra. Now this is obviously not the same, because here, this is not our Ezra. Now watch, you'll see right away. They're listing, there should be 24 families here. Amario Maluch Hatush, Shechanya Rechum Reimot Ido Gintoi Avia Miyamin, Ma'adaya, Bilga, Shemaya, Yoyariv, Yedaya. These are all families of Kohanim. Salu, Amok, Chilkiya, Yedaya, Ele, Roshe, Kohanim, V'acheyem, B'yimei Yeshua. These are the Kohanic families in the days of Yeshua. Vahalevim, a different Yeshua, Binu, Kadmel, Sheregio, Yehuda, Matanya, Al Hayedut, Hu Ve'echav. Al Hayedut, also, Al Hayedut, Hu Ve'echav, they were appointed over Yedut. Yedut means Lahodot, to thank, the thanking of God or the singing of songs. The Amanah was later. We're now at the very beginning. The Amanah is 50, 60 years later now. Ubak Bukiyar, another time. He's going to be in other words, the first group of Levium are the ones who are in charge of the singing in the Beit HaMikdash. The second are the ones who stand guard. The Yeshua holidat Yoyakim, Yoyakim holidat Yoshev, and Yoshev et Yoyada. The Yoyada holidat Yonatan, the Yonatan holidat Yadua. Ubimei, what they are talking about over here, who did we come down to over here? The Yeshua is Yeshua Kohen Gadol. What they're listing now are the families of Kohanim Gedolim. Yeshua was Yeshua ben Yitzadok, who came with Zerubbabel from Babel, and these are his family going all the way down. Ubimei Yoyakim, in the days of Yoyakim, king of Yehuda, they were Kohanim. They were the Kohanim Gedolim. Leseroya, Meroya, Leirmiya, Hananya, LeEzra, Meshulam. In other words, these were families of Kohanim Gedolim. All that came from this, all that came from Yeshua or before him. LeEzra, Meshulam, Amaya, Yocha, Shivanya, Yosef, Lachiram, Adna, Limrod, Chelki, Leido, Zechaya, Leginto, Meshulam, Lavia. It's a mitzvah to read it. Lavia zichli minyamin lemawadja piltai lebilgo shavua lishmaya yonatam leyora matai leyidia uzi lesali kali lama gara lechilki chashavi leyidia nisana lalavimi meyaliyoshim yoyoda veyochanan veyadua ksuvim rosh yovas hakohanim amachos to yovas haparsi. These were the Levim and these were the Kohanim in the days of Darius the Persian. Vnei Levi rosheva vod haptuvim al sefer dvar hayomim vajimei Yochanan ben Eliyosh ben Rosh Levim, Chasavi Sheravi Yeshua ben Kamel, Lachem Lenegdom Lahalel Hodos. Their brothers, their task was to praise and give thanks. The mitzvah of David Ishul Kim, as was the mitzvah of David, the man of God. Mishmar Leumat Mishmar. What they're really telling us over here is the following: David HaMelech had already divided the Kohanim and the Levim into 24 groups each. And each group had to serve 2 weeks a year in the Beit HaMikdash. This is now, all these families are now organized again. It wasn't simply a hodgepodge of who came when, but they were divided into families. Again, Matanya, Barbukia, Uvadio, Mishulam, Talman, Akub, Shomrim, they were, in other words, there is one group of Levim that were in charge of singing and in charge of praise. The others were in charge of guarding the gates. Ba'asu peha hasha'arim at the asupei hasha'arim. Asupei means there were machsanim near the gates and they were in charge of those machsanim. Eile b'yimei yoyokim b'yim yishu b'yim yisadek u'bein chemya hapecha v'ezra hakoyin ha'zofer. Here the three leaders of the entire period are listed for us in one pasuk. All of these served in the days of Yoyakim, who was the son of Yoshua ben Yotzadik. In other words, Yoshua, Kohen Gadol, was the one who came up with Zerubbabel. After him comes his son, Yoyakim. So Yoyakim, the son of Yoshua ben Yotzadik, and the days of Nehemiah, who's called a Pecha. Pecha was, that was his title, really. He was the governor. And Ezra has his two titles. He was Ezra HaKohen, and he was a Sofer. Yes. I don't know what you can ask questions on that. I really don't know, but I'm so thrilled. I'm waiting to hear. Yes? He had the plans. He had the plans, but all the... But he was the one who divided the Kohanim and Levim into the families of Mishmarot. It said so It was much earlier in Tanakh. Said it very clearly.
No, when he went to look at it, then he worked at it
Where?
When he went to Shmuel's house to get the
where? Where?
Nayot
Berama.
Nayot Berama.
That's where David sat with Shmuel when he fled from before Shaul, and they, according to the Gemara, they were Osek. What they were involved in was the Binyan Bet Hamikdash, the construction of the Bet Hamikdash. Very good, very good. Ubechanukat Chomat Yerushalayim, when they dedicated the wall of Yerushalayim, Bikshu et Halavim, Mikom, Mikomotam, Lahavim, Yerushalayim, Lasot Chanukah, Vesimcha, Ubetodot, Ubeshir, Mitziltayim, Nevolim, Ubechinorot. What's going to be described now is the dedication ceremonies of the Bet Hamikdash, and the word that we will see, certainly toward the end, the word Simcha keeps coming up all the time. So Bechanukat Chomat Yerushalayim, when they dedicated the walls of Yerushalayim, Bikshu et HaLeviim, they sought out the Leviim, Mikol Mikolotam, from all of their places, LaHaviyam Yerushalayim, they should come to Yerushalayim because they are going to have to begin to serve LaSot, to make a Chanukah v'simcha u'betodot, with thanks and also with korbanot todah u'beshir, it was music, mitzultayim, nevalim, u'bechinorot. Mitzultayim are symbols, and nevalim and kinorot are string instruments, usually harp and violin. Vayeyosfu b'nei hamishorinim, and the sons of the singers gathered, u'min hakikar, Svivat Yerushalayim, the kikar around Yerushalayim, means the whole area from Yerushalayim going east to Yericho. Umin chatzrei netofati, from the chatzedim of Netofah, that is in the area around Bethlehem, and they all came, umi beit hagilgol, umi stod geva v'azmavet, all the mishorinim, the singers came, because the Mishorinim built for themselves areas in which they lived around Yerushalayim. Vayetaru HaKohen HaLeviim, the Kohanim and the Leviim purified themselves. Vayetaru et Ha'am, and they purified the people. Ve'et HaShe'adim ve'et HaChomah, they sanctified the gate and the wall. And now Nehemiah says, Va'alet Sarei Yehuda me'al HaChomah, I took the Sarei Yehuda upon the Chomah. By the way, from here we see that the Chomah was not a simple Chomah, but it had width. You were able to tayel al hachomot, as we know. Va'alet Sarei Yehuda me'al hachomah va'amido shtei todot gedolot, and I put up two great todot, or many todot, and we will yet have to talk about the. There were korbanot todah, thanksgiving offerings that were brought. We'll have to see what the significance was. V'ta'aluchot layomin me'al lachomah l'shar ha'ashpot, and there was a march on the walls, the marching around the walls to the shar ha'ashpot. V'yelech achareim Hoshaya v'chatzi sarei Yehuda, following them was Hoshaya and half of the officers of Yehuda. V'azariah Ezra Mishulam Yehuda v'nyomin v'shmayo v'yirmiya. From the sons of the Kohanim were blowing the trumpets. We have to try to imagine. We have to try to imagine the great joy of this celebration. This was the Chatzotzrot Hayovel. It was Pamone something or other. It was a tremendous. Mivnei Kohanim b'Chatzotzrot Zichari ben Yonatan ben Shmaya ben Matanya ben Michoya ben Zakur ben Asaf. Ve'echav Shmaya ba'Azrael nilalai gilalai ma'ayin etanel v'Yehuda Chanoni v'chlei shir David Ishu'alekin. Fascinating. I don't know if David is called Ishu'alekin. This is the second time. I don't think he's called Ishu'alekin many other places in Tanakh. Ve'ezra ha'sofa lefneim. And Ezra ha'sofa. I think I'm not doing justice to the beauty and the pageantry. And we're not, I don't know, we're not, there must probably are a few thousand people there, but they are celebrating. I'll tell you what I'm doing. You know what I'm thinking about. I'll tell you what I'm thinking about. While all of this is taking place, I have a sneaky suspicion a few million Jews in Babel didn't even know what was happening in Yerushalayim. And everybody was going about their own business, thinking that whatever was happening in their town, village, or in their business or office was really the center of the whole world. And what they're unaware of is that Ezra and Nehemiah are writing history out there in Yerushalayim. They may find out about it some months or maybe years later. It may take them many, many years. Even those who would know about it maybe never got to the end of Sefer Nehemiah to know about it. But this was an extremely, extremely important event. Watch. The Gemara is going to fill in that description. When I told you the Todot, the Gemara in Shavuos tells us that it seems from the Gemara in Shavuos that the Todot were part of the process of halachically sanctifying Yerushalayim. But I may want you to see the Rambam on this, which I haven't prepared for yet. That's why I'm just trying to stall.
What does it mean? Purified themselves. That I know. They probably what do you mean? They purified the
young. In other words, because it was their responsibility to teach the people. In other words, for example, people are going to come onto the Temple Mount. They're going to go up to the Har Bayit. There's a Beit HaMikdash. People are coming from all over. What do you think the Temple Mount faithful who go up every Tuesday? One of these days I'm going to have to take off a Tuesday. I've wanted for years to go up to Har Abayit. For years I've wanted to go up to Har Abayit. I've got to do one of these days. They go up at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. I don't know if this is well known, but there's a group that goes up every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. So number one, I mean, there are two basic things that they have to do. I have to go to the mikveh, but they're going to the mikveh is not the way men would go to the mikveh. They have to go to the mikveh with all of the dinim that apply to a woman who goes to the mikveh. In other words, they have to make sure perfectly clean, nails are cut, you know. A real tefillah in a mikveh, not this kind of jumping into a mikveh and jumping out. In addition to the fact that they put on running shoes. You're not allowed to go up with leather shoes on Har Abayit. No, that means like this. Why do you think the rabbinate, the chief rabbinate has been opposed to prayer on Har Abayit? I mean, the most natural thing would be for the rabbinate to be pushing. I mean, we should get hundreds of thousands of people out into the streets for prayer on the Har Abayit. I think we should. But what they're afraid of is that many people will go up onto the Har Abayit without having gone through the proper halachic process. So what have you accomplished? So what you did is, and going up the Har Abayit without proper preparation, there is a... That's Dr. Ron Shapira. And I asked him, why not? Why don't we push for going up the Har Abayit? And then I asked him a personal question. I want to go to Har Abayit. What should I do? So there were a few other people, you know, in another part of the room, so he started whispering to me. And he says, listen, we can't prohibit what is permitted. I can't tell you that it's usher to go up to the Har Abayit. Because the fact is, a person who prepares himself properly is permitted to go up to Har Abayit. What are we concerned about? We are concerned about that the masses of people will not do so. That's exactly, I'm happy that you stopped me to ask Pshat, when it says in Pasuk 30, Vayi Taharu, HaKohanim HaLevim is first talking that the Kohanim and the Levim purified themselves, and then Vayi Taharu Et Ha'am, they had a major responsibility. Here is going to be a day that's going to be celebrated on Har Abayit. They have to make sure that they're going to purify the people. Otherwise, the whole day is going to turn out to be a day of terrible sin. Yes?
What about the people that go on Tuesday? What do they do there, and how do they go up to it? Are they prepared?
Oh, yeah. This is a group of people. They go to the mikveh in the morning. They put on their running shoes, and they go up, and God forbid, you know, they're not permitted to, God forbid, pray. I mean, pray. you can't move their lips. But they get into, I mean, it's, the fact is, whenever I think of it, yes, yeah. Just, and they stand right near the gate. I mean, it's a shandan achar. It's unbelievable. When I think of it, I become so enraged. But, you know, we have so many things to be enraged about. You can just be enraged like Anson Tov. It's a shandan achar. Jews cannot daven on the harbor. It's a...
We gave it,
of course. Why couldn't we?
No,
go prepare yourself. What's the problem? Go to the mikveh. Yeah, but we could. Go to the mikveh and put on... Yeah, and that's all. I don't know. And if need be, the Rabbanut, they'll have somebody standing at the top of the mountain. Check everybody, you know. You have to present the petek that you're in the mikveh. Check your shoes, you know. I don't know, maybe have some kind of a new machine that will check your shoes for leather. If there's any leather in it, it'll go off, you understand? And that's all. You can do anything in this day and age. Everybody goes into the Harabayit. But we shouldn't be able to pray the Harabayit. I mean, they are going so far as to claim already that the Kotel belongs to them.
Yeah, sure.
And maybe, if anything, it's on loan to us, but it belongs to them. Yeah. You don't want to get aggravated. You don't want to aggravate me.
We made a mistake in the beginning.
Yeah, yes, we said, we know we made. We didn't make the mistake. We
never.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Pasuk 37. Baal Shad Ha'ayin V'negdom Olu Al Ma'alot Ir David Ba'ma'alel HaChoma. You know, this is what we need, somebody to take us on a teal and show us where did they march on that day. Al Shar Ha'ayin. Shar Ha'ayin is on the east side. We're on the east side of the wall. There were groups going along Shar Ha'ayin and Negdam. Opposite them, there were people who were coming up steps to Ir David b'Ma'aleh L'Choma on their way up to the wall. May Allah be David by Shar Ha'ayin Mizrah. From the south, they walked to the east, and the water gate was on the east. V'hatoda ha-shenit, there was another carbon, toda ha-ho-lechet, lemo'el means opposite the first one, v'ani achadeh, Nehemiah says he was walking after the second carbon toda. And I said I will point out that the carbonos toda had as their purpose the sanctification of Yerushalayim. Not only the sanctification of Yerushalayim, I better finish the sentence. Ein mosifin, the halacha is the following, ein mosifin al ha'ir va'al ha'azaros. What happens if you want to extend Yerushalayim? Now, extending Yerushalayim, I'm not talking about Olmet deciding that Mevaseret is part of Yerushalayim. We're talking about extending the sanctity of Yerushalayim, and that makes a difference. If we extend the sanctity, that means on the night of Pesach, you can eat the Korban Pesach within those parameters. A person who's brought a carbon toda must eat it within Yerushalayim. Or a person who brings Maiser Sheni to eat in Yerushalayim, or he brings the money of Maiser Sheni for which he buys food and he eats it within Yerushalayim, can only be within the halachic sanctified boundaries of Yerushalayim. Now, extending, and there were a number of times in history when they extended the city, but extending the city requires, according to the halacha, carbon toda. And the Gemara says that this was part of the process of the sanctification of Yerushalayim. However, the Gemara goes on to say, and so paskins the Rambam, they weren't extending the city, they were sanctifying Yerushalayim. But the Rambam says, Kedushat Yerushalayim v'hamigdash, the sanctity of the Bet HaMikdash in Yerushalayim is because of Shechina. And Shechina ain't of a tail, it's because of the divine presence, and the divine presence never ceases, which means from the moment that Yerushalayim became holy, in the days of David and Shlomo, it remains holy ad Hayom Hazeh. So who needed all of these sacrifices? So the Gemara in the Sefer Yeshua says, it was Lezecher Ba'alma. It was a ceremonial form of carbon toda. According to the halacha, there was no necessity at all to sanctify the city. And by the way, it didn't say anything here about sanctifying the city. All it said is that they were bringing these korbanot toda. And the Gemara says that these korbanot toda, these thanksgiving offerings, were not brought in order to sanctify the city, but it was a commemoration of the sanctification of the city. Yes? No. They were bringing the animal to the Beit HaMikdash. They're on their way to the... God, no. No. Yes?
Do we have a sanctuary? Do we have one? And where is it sanctified?
Part of Yerushalayim? I don't know about Yerushalayim, but I'm sure that we do. First of all, it's probably within the walls, I imagine. I don't know. I really don't know. At first, I thought you were asking about, do we know what part of the Temple Mount is holy? By the way, it's not the entire Temple Mount that has the Kedusha of Beit HaMikdash. It's only part of the Temple Mount. And there we, in other words, if it's a matter of knowing where we could daven without treading onto the onto Beit HaMikdash itself, that we do know. Yerushalayim, I imagine we I've never studied it, but I'm sure we must know what the parameters of Yerushalayim of Bayit Sheni was, of Yerushalayim of the second Beit HaMikdash. We most probably know.
Okay, and we know about the western wall and the southern wall.
Yeah.
Do we know, actually,
the
eastern wall and the northern wall?
The eastern wall is there, sure. It's the end of the Temple Mount.
It sits here in verse 38 after the broad wall. We know where the broad wall is.
That's the broad wall? That's the broad wall? I mean, I know it's in the next pasuk. Let's see a little. V'chatzi ha'am me'al ha'choma me'al le'migdal ha'tanurim v'ad ha'choma ha'rechava. They didn't even say pshat in it. To the choma ha'rechava. U'me'al le'shar Ephraim v'al shah ha'yishana v'al shah ha'dagim u'migdal ha'nanel u'migdal ha'me'a v'ad shah ha'tzon v'omdu v'sha'ar ha'matara. They are all here. In other words, they began south, they move to the east, north, and down to the west. But until, in other words, they really marched around the whole city. And then these two todot, as we said, were brought to the Beit Elokim. והכהנים אל יוקים מעשהו מניומן מיכויה אל יועני זכריה חנניה בחצות של זה הלד טרומפטס ומעשהו שמיה ולוזה ועוזי ויוקנון ומרקיה ואילון ועזר וישמיעו המשורדים ויזרחיה הפקיד יזרחיה was in charge of them and they sang ויזבחו ביום ההוא זבחים גדולים many גדולים אוהבים doesn't mean big but it means many ויסמחו. Listen to this pasuk. They were happy. Ki ha'elokim simchom simcha gedolah, because God had made them happy, a great happiness. V'gam hanoshim v'hayoladim samechu, the women and the children were happy. But tishama simchat Yerushalayim meirachok, the joy of Yerushalayim was heard from afar.
Nice pasuk.
Very beautiful pasuk.
That God made them happy.
God made them happy. Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful, beautiful pasuk. And I say, I don't think anybody else in the rest of the world knows what's going on over there. Jews around the world don't have a clue what's going on over there. I don't think communication makes the difference. Exactly. I don't think they can know immediately in Chutzarts what's going on over here. But they don't feel part of it. And here we have such a beautiful description. I'm sure that if we would get a picture and maybe take our own walk through this whole area from shah to shah, all around the wall. I mean, don't they do that? The Yom Yerushalayim and my Rav Damas Pashut walking around the walls until finally they come with the two Kavanot Toda to the Temple Mount.
I didn't know they didn't know what was going on.
My fertile imagination. We will find out later. that with the passage of time, of course, there is going to be traveling, a lot of traveling taking place between Yerushalayim and Bavel, and that's going to go on for a long, long time. Long time. In the Gemara, there's hardly a page that you don't have when such and such rabbi came from Eretz Yisrael, or when such and such rabbi went down to Eretz Yisrael. There was constant communication between the two communities. And remember, you've heard often how I described at least every Rosh Chodesh there was a direct connection with Yerushalayim. But I have a feeling, I don't know, I have a feeling that they didn't know. That's right. That's exactly what I'm doing. All right. From here to the end is really going to be one parasha that we're going to try and do, Yes Hashem, next week. And there are still a number of major issues. Now, what we're going to learn, well, let's finish this, but we still have to do parts, all of Haggai, all of Malachi, and parts of Zechariah that are directly related to what's going on over here. So we have a lot to do.